Hi, everybody. Thank you for your support as always. The NARCCon podcast is now offering a membership only subscription of the price of a cup of coffee per month for all new and some of the old podcasts going into the membership section. Please join us if you'd like more of this content. We would love to see you there. And to remind you, should you wish to avail of the free content, it is available over on YouTube in both video and podcast form. God bless everyone. Take care, and I hope you enjoy the content that's to come. Hello, everyone, and you're very welcome to our show, NARCCon, where today we're going to delve into signs that you may have been in a relationship with a narcissist. And we will take it from the romantic point of view, which is easier to kind of condense and show all the different behaviours of a narcissist over a period of time. But you can also apply this to whatever relationship you've come out of or ended with a person who was a difficult person. It's very hard to accept that a relationship that you put your whole heart and soul and spirit into may have been with a narcissist, because to you it was very real and you put a lot of effort and love and care into the time spent with that person. But if you're in a pretty dreadful state after the relationship has ended, either by being discarded, and that's a big word, discarded by a person who purported to love you, or cheated on, or had to leave them for some reason, and you cannot get over it, it's taking you a long time to heal, your head is not in the present, you're continually disassociating from what's going on around you, and a lot of other signs that I'm going to get into now. And people are perplexed that at this stage you haven't got over the relationship and, as they love to say these days, moved on. I'm here to tell you, the ending of a relationship with a narcissist is huge. It is not a normal human relationship breakup. Don't underestimate what you've been through, and don't allow anybody else to underestimate what you've been through in relation to you feeling bad about yourself because somebody else doesn't think, you know, that thinks that you're taking too long to recover from this relationship. I'm telling you from personal experience and from speaking to many clients, this is one of the hardest battles to overcome emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, and sometimes physically as well. So whereas it may be one of the hardest, it will be the most rewarding. And I want to prefix this podcast by saying that you will recover. You will get over it. You will go on to thrive if you get the information. Follow the procedures that we have laid out. Don't give up hope. Learn from people who are a few steps ahead of you in the process. And believe them when they say, and some of them will say, and this is very hard to hear in the beginning, because you shouldn't have had to go through this experience. But given that you have gone through this experience, if you use it in the right way, you will really go on to thrive afterwards. So looking at the signs, these are common signs that people experience that help them look back and decide, along with a lot of other criteria, that that person may well have been a covert narcissist that they were dealing with. And that puts a lot of things in perspective moving forward, as they say. So let's get into, I think I have 12 signs down that are common signs of not a normal breakup, of having been psychologically and spiritually bashed about and emotionally bashed about and taken through a world war with a narcissist, an individual world war. The first sign is excruciating, overwhelming pain, emotional pain, and a grieving, a desperate, dark grieving process, that when you wake up in the morning, I'm going to be really real with you, really real. You wake up in the morning, you go, oh no, I'm awake. I have to face these things again, and I don't want to. And yet, where can I run? Where can I hide? How can I escape it? How can I make it better? It's like the emotional stress of it is absolutely awful. And this is the point where I can't really go there on YouTube, but this is the point where some of our community do not make it past, and I know you'll know what I'm talking about. And it's a very low period, and it's a time of hopelessness and despair. And that's why I really want to get this message out there to you, having been through that personal experience and witnessed the same personal experience of others. You will get through it. I promise you, stick with it. Day by day, moment by moment. Switch your brain from the utter despair that you're feeling at the moment to a different thought. Make it a different thought. Make it a different reality. And you'll say, Paula, that's very easy to do. No, it's not easy to do, but it will help you. Tell yourself, I am a wonderful person. I have so much ahead of me that I'm going to do and achieve and succeed at. I am not the sum of a sick person's opinion of who I am, which is only a reflection in the mirror of my face of who they are themselves. So it can be the first days, the first weeks, the first months. It can be overpowering. It can be, if you get through that period, which you guys are going to get through, people that often don't have the information that we have luckily found ourselves. It's a time where it's literally one foot in front of the other, and it's a survival process to do what you can, the best you can on a day. And that may even be just getting out of bed. That may even be just washing your teeth. That may even be just making yourself a cup of coffee. That may even be staying away from the booze, staying away from the gambling, staying away from the food addiction, whatever you would normally use to take yourself, escape the thoughts, basically. Number two, signs that you may have had a relationship with a covert narcissist. You've no interest or direction, really. You don't feel hopeful of the future. You kind of feel like, what's the point? There is no point. It's quite a depressed state, I would say. Definitely would recommend people will seek support at every step of the way if they're going through any of this process, and medical intervention if you feel that you are in any danger or you feel desperate. Definitely go to the doctor. Get any help that you possibly can. Do not underestimate the devastating effect that this person will have wrecked upon your life. Do not dismiss it as a relationship breakup and there's something wrong with you. There is actually a lot wrong with you that we can put right as a causation of the fact that you've been interacting with a kind of a brainwashing process that has lowered your feel-good hormone levels. I think I have that down as another sign that has really had as devastating. I cannot stress it enough. It is a serious thing to have been with a narcissist. That's what I have written down as part of sign two. You literally have had a hormonal crash because the narcissist in the relationship has got you hooked and isolated. So isolated from any or most external forms of validation to make you feel good about yourself, what you do, to feedback, you know, who you are and positivity to you. The narcissist has played push and pull with this. The narcissist has given you the drugs, taken the drugs, given you the drugs, taken the drugs. And now this is a big withdrawal from your feel-good hormones, from your serotonin, your dopamine and your oxytocin. You're really messed up physically. And that can be righted over a period of time. But you didn't know that that was happening to you. You didn't know that you were kind of entrapped with the narcissist waiting for them to say, you know, you're good, you can release your hormones, you've done well, I love you, that kind of thing. It was a subtle build-up to getting you hooked on their regulation of your feel-good hormones. It's a reversal of what the narcissist needs from us. They get the supply from us, the feed from us. So they kind of reverse that process in the relationship without you actually understanding what's going on. That can be righted. We can actually do practical physical things to right the re-regulation of our hormones. It's the wanting to do that, to getting to the stage that you actually want to do something positive for yourself, that you start to feel hope again, that you can, you know, do something positive for yourself and see a future for yourself. So this is a tricky period that you need to really, again, get as much support as possible and be gentle with yourself and advocate for yourself and understand that every human being is worthy of love. Every human being is worthy of love. And if there's no one else around to give you love, you start giving it to yourself. It's very, very, very important for the future that awaits you. Sign three. All the negative things from the past, you know, as we're going through life, we kind of fluctuate in how we feel about ourselves. Sometimes we feel that we're a great person and other times we feel that we're not so great. And all the voices of the past come back to haunt us, where your siblings may have told you you were crazy or your parents were negative with you or someone in school was negative with you. And you wondered, who am I? And you formed the opinion of yourself. Well, at this point in time, because the narcissist has been so negative in the devaluation period and so awful in the discard, telling you that you are a totally worthless person, which is what they feel about themselves truly, though they hide it very well, you have this overload of negativity about who you are as a person, and you go, your brain kind of goes back to all the other negative things you were ever told about yourself. And there's an imbalance of negativity there at this stage. And you're searching around to try and say, deep down, you have a fear that maybe that's true. Maybe I am crazy. Maybe there is something wrong with me because I stand up for myself. And maybe I'm odd. Maybe I need to do what the narcissist said and go and get therapy and help. And actually, we do need therapy and help sometimes, you know, when we're coming out of this relationship. But it's not for the reasons the narcissist said. It's actually because we've been trampled on and treated really badly and psychologically manipulated and emotionally thrashed and spiritually devastated by a narcissist. So an overload of negativity, a re-evaluation of who we are as a person, and a worry that people that said things bad about us in the past were right. So it's a real low self-esteem, very low self-esteem period, and a very doubtful period, and a very ill-confident building period within ourselves. We're shaky, basically. Sign four, this leads on to a loss of identity. You know, the ego has taken a thrashing and we're actually wondering, well, who am I? Who actually am I? Who do I believe I am? You know, it's like we've stood up for ourselves at the end of the relationship with the narcissist, and the reward we got for putting in boundaries in the relationship and actually respecting ourselves was a thrashing from the narcissist, psychologically, emotionally, sometimes physically, and definitely spiritually. So that's a big deal. And again, do not underestimate the effect a narcissist, close encounter with a narcissist in an intimate or close relationship will have on you. It is not normal. So we struggle with identity and we go through a period of reevaluation. We can make that into a good thing because it really focuses, maybe even for the first time ever, having to advocate for ourselves, having to survive and having to decide who we are and what we are and what we represent and what we hold dear. Even though at the end of the relationship with the narcissist, we got punished for doing so, for standing up for ourselves, for respecting ourselves and for advocating for ourselves. Because of course, when a person does that, the narcissist loses control of that person and their supply and services are no longer readily available for that narcissist to harvest. That narcissist has a very vile reaction to someone extracting themselves from being a food source for them. Sign number five, I don't know if this is happening to you or you may be dealing with the breakup in a different manner, but number five sign would be the need to obsessively talk about the relationship and the person who you've left or who has left you that we're coining as a covert narcissist in the absence of a clinical diagnosis. You know, the narcissist isn't going to come and say, "Hey, Paula, I just want to put your mind at rest. I'm going to get a diagnosis of who I am and it might help you to know I'm a narcissist, so therefore you can recover quick." Isn't that kind of me? Not going to happen. We have to do this for ourselves and make as good an assessment as possible in the absence of any clinical or any medical opinion, because we can't receive it, about this person who's left us. We have to decide for ourselves and put things in place for our recovery. So we have to assess it as best we can. Sign six that you may have been with a narcissist is that you keep seeking answers. You keep seeking information. You keep saying, "Well, if they did that, why did they do this? I mean, that doesn't make sense. Why would they say they love me and then go and do this?" And your brain is actually trying to give you the correct solution to a very complex problem because your neural pathways have totally been up, have totally been messed up. So it's going to take time to answer each of the questions that your brain poses to you before the emotion that follows comes, because you don't want to keep feeling angry. You don't want to keep feeling sad. You don't want to keep grieving. So you keep asking questions to make sense of the situation, to give yourself the correct answer. And I don't mean the answer that you'd like. I mean the answer that makes the most sense, so that you can uncover a pattern of what actually happened to you in the relationship. So this is, if you were describing it as a computer, you'd say the computer had to be totally reset or restart it, whatever you call it, so that it could extract any viruses and clean the program up and get that pause button that goes around and around and around, get rid of that so that the computer is actually functioning, spit, spot, and it's making sense again. And oftentimes I would say to people, if you have a question about why this person did this to me, why a narcissist did this to me, look it up and get the answer and write the answer down. And any time your brain, because it will, once it gets the answer, that's okay for a while, but then it'll kind of ask the question again. And you need to totally retrain your brain because the narcissist has messed it up. The narcissist has told you one thing and done another. And you're trying to figure out, why did they do that and tell me that? Then you get the answer and you go, "Oh, because they're a narcissist, so that's not normal." And then your brain goes back again and researches, "Well, why did they do that and do that? That's a very similar thing to the previous thing I researched." It's literally a total resetting, retraining of your brain. Sign seven, you may have difficulty making decisions. And this is, again, due to loss of identity, due to loss of motivation, due to loss of self-esteem in relation to yourself and your plans for the future, due to always second-guessing what you should answer because you were in a relationship with a narcissist. And generally, they would control your decision-making process subtly. But at the end, if you were to get any peace in the relationship, you would always have to first reference the narcissist before you made a decision. So your brain is kind of searching around. If I make this decision, what are the consequences going to be firstly, about the decision I'm making, but secondly, if I make that decision, will I suffer for it? I think you get the picture. So your brain is doing a double take on any time you have to make a decision, and it slows it down. And the other part of that is, as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, the disassociation, where someone's asking you a question and you're going, kind of looking at them and you hear the question, but it's not quickly going to the right part of your brain and the response is delayed. You're hearing the question, but it's not acute. That's the best way I can describe it. It's not an acute response time. Like someone would say to you previously, would you like chocolate or strawberry ice cream, Paula? And you'd go, oh, strawberry, please, you know, because that's your favorite. You'd kind of be going, would you like a strawberry or chocolate ice cream, Paula? And Paula would be going, ice cream, ice cream. Oh, strawberry, please. Does that bring any resonance to anybody? It's just, you're just not quite there. It's a process. It'll come back. You'll remember strawberry quicker next time. I promise. I promise. I promise. I promise. Ooh, okay. So difficulty making decisions and coping with life. Paying bills. Doing things that you would normally have done, you know, in 2 minutes. Things are harder to do. And this is, a lot of these symptoms are post-traumatic stress related symptoms. And you think about this, you have post-traumatic stress related symptoms from being in a relationship with someone. That's serious. So when the next person says to you, have you not gotten over that yet and moved on? Maybe the best answer, because a lot of people don't actually understand the complexity of the moving on from this type of situation, is to say, there were other issues I had to deal with besides just the normal relationship issues. So it's a process that's taking me longer than it would had I been in a normal relationship with a normal individual. It's more complex. So I'd appreciate your understanding. Thank you so much. If you need to go there, don't feel bad about taking time to move on, as they say. Number eight, poor self-care is another one. You kind of, again, it goes in line with the, you know, the adrenal fatigue, the disassociation, the lack of hope, all of the things we've already said. There is not the motivation to care for yourself. So it's more about survival at a certain stage. It's more about just eating and not enjoying the food. It's more about washing when you need to, say, to go to work. And sometimes that's even forgotten. It's more about just about getting there. But when we do get to the further stage of the healing process, self-care is huge. Physical self-care will actually bring you on in leaps and bounds, because you're telling yourself that you're worth caring for. So when you put on some nice clothes, you even have a shower, all of that reaffirms to your brain that, hey, you're a person that matters. You're a person worth caring for, which is the exact opposite of the message the narcissist. Sorry, I'm just trying to move back there. The exact opposite message to what the narcissist would have given you in the relationship. I know people like to see Remy, if anyone's listening to this on Just Audio, Remy is more than just a dog. He's our mascot. So he's actually just lying down in front of the fire. So I hope everyone can see him there. Just move this microphone out of the way a bit. Okay. Sign number 9 is social isolation. A lot of us, a lot of people, having been through a relationship with a narcissist, tend to socially isolate because they're not up to socializing. It's that simple. They don't feel worthy of socializing. Loud noises and crowds are just too much. They're too much input for your brain to be able to deal with. It's a very strange one, because you may have been a very outgoing person before, but you're actually wounded. You're wounded and not up to it. You're not up to interacting with people, responding to people's questions, or responding in a correct, socially acceptable, emotional way is difficult. And people are kind of looking at you when you respond strangely or don't respond at all. And it doesn't help. It doesn't help you think that you're okay. It just feeds into the narcissist's projection onto you that there was something wrong with you. So, okay. Social isolation, try, obviously, if you can, do a little bit of socializing. It's very good for us in all respects. It makes us feel part of something, and we need to feel part of something after the narcissist has made us feel part of just them. So if you can, do as much as you are able for when you're able for it. Sign 10. Constantly watching videos about narcissists, learning about the type of personality disorder you were dealing with, the narcissistic personality disorder. It's a personality disorder. It's a disorder. So that person who has a personality disorder, along with spiritual sickness, I would call it, and spiritual darkness, they're the person telling you about yourself and who you are. Are you actually going to accept a disordered person's opinion of who you are? So we do tend to constantly watch videos and podcasts. I remember it was a fantastic part of my personal healing process. And I thank all the content creators who went before me, because I literally would get out of work and I'd drive home to and listen to a podcast. I'd get dinner and I'd listen to a podcast. I'd go to bed and before I went to sleep, I'd listen to a podcast. It both soothed me. It comforted me. It helped re-regulate my brain. It told me the information I needed to know to pursue a recovery. And it eased the pain. It eased the pain because it put things in the correct place. So I hope that that's doing that for you. Don't again feel there's something wrong with you because you seem to go through a period of obsessively looking at podcasts on narcissists. This is so common. And it is, I think, a healthy response to a crazy mental world that we were in with the narcissist. And, you know, if anyone tells you, oh, you shouldn't be doing that, shouldn't be listening to podcasts all the time like that, don't listen if it's helping you. Anything that helps. This is a serious thing you have been through. And I know I've said this about 5 times already. Anything that helps you that's not going to cause a negative effect, take it, do it. Sign 11. We tend to reevaluate the whole of our lives when we learn about the narcissistic personality disorder. We tend to go way, way back to our childhoods and we reassess what actually happened in our childhoods, in school years, in the workplace, in other relationships we've had. And where the other relationships may have been in any way narcissistically abusive. And that's like, there's a lot of very healthy relationships we will have had. But when we reassess maybe our start in life and what we thought about ourselves and our self-esteem, or the way we were kind of groomed to react to a narcissist if we had a narcissistic parent. The narcissistic way became familiar to us. And that's how we fell in so easily with the relationship narcissist or the workplace narcissist. We reevaluate all of our relationships, and we can actually use relationships from the past that were negative to us at that stage that we took personally. We can go and revisit them and revisit the person and start putting in some boundaries slowly, start taking the relationship less personally, and do actually a lot of personal self-development. We can use it as a tool to re-establish ourselves in our lives in relation to new boundaries and new ways of being with people who formerly took advantage maybe of us. So some people just want to leave the narcissists alone totally, and that's very understandable, particularly if you have a highly malignant narcissist who's going to harm you. I would advocate, in particular individual circumstances, and this can be covered in coaching because every circumstance is different. In some circumstances that are not harmful to you, but it has to be with that codicil, not harmful to you, you can work the relationship so that you can manage it and kind of take a step up in the enlightenment and personal development stakes, if that makes sense. And the last, but by no means least, result or sign that you may have been in a relationship with a narcissist in the recovery period, returning to God. Asking for the big fella's help and going into a much more spiritual side of life and reevaluating who you are and what you hold dear, and trying to practice putting more goodness out there after the relationship with a narcissist instead of becoming embittered and angry and revengeful against the narcissist, or isolating yourself totally and never having another relationship with anybody again, or withdrawing from society altogether. I mean, you have a purpose. Everybody has a purpose in life. I believe narcissists are sent from the darkness of wherever to take us off our purpose, to distract us, and to sometimes try and turn us to the dark side if they can, or eliminate us altogether. That's it for today, folks. I hope that was hopeful. I hope it was helpful and hopeful. And we will see you again very soon. I hope you enjoy your weekend. This podcast is going out at the weekend of Halloween in Europe. So to all the witches and wizards out there who are going to go trick and treating, wish you the very best of fun, and stay away from the narcissists. Bye for now.